Now we both kinda like it. Now we both kinda know that if we're ever gonna make it, we just need to let go.
You're listening to the Crosscutting Concerns podcast. I'm your host, Matt Groves. Please visit the site at crosscuttingconcerns.com, where you can subscribe, browse the archives, contact me, read show notes, and leave a comment. I'm recording this podcast on February 8th, 2017. My guest today is a software engineer with OpenGov, an active member of the developer community. His daughter once dressed as Octocat for Halloween. Ryan Lancio, how are you?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing good. I hope I said that right. Lancio or Lancio?
I've been corrected before by people from France, but I pronounce it Lancio.
Okay. So what are you doing with JavaScript these days? Are you using React, Angular, something else, and why?
We're in a great spot as JavaScript developers, for those of us that are JavaScript developers. There's a lot of great options. I'm currently using React. It just fits with my workflow pretty well, and mental model, I guess. But that's not to say that, you know, there's not other great options out there. But yeah, that's kind of why it fits for, you know, how I kind of envision the front end working.
I'd say we have too many great options. And so so what about React fits your workflow so well?
I think just how data flows through the system, like there's a hierarchy of components. And, you know, you can say, okay, set this data at the top and, you know, pass parts of this data down to the child components. I really like that. There's other things to it, but I think as far as like conceptually, I just really like that.
You are a top contributor on the Griddle project. Can you give us a brief overview of what Griddle is?
Yeah, so Griddle is a data grid library for React. It has a focus on customization, but in a nutshell, that's basically what Griddle is.
So it's a yet another grid. I know there's lots of them out there. I've been around for a long time. So what does Griddle do best, would you say?
One of the main things that we were trying to do with Griddle is say, we want to have a grid that people can go in and customize, not just to show data in a grid format, but say, okay, there's other things that we want to visualize that is basically just a list of data. A lot of times on the front end, we could say, we're passing all this stuff down. If we have all the data in the front end, we can say, all right, now let's render this as some kind of chart. Or you know, if the data has a latitude and longitude, we can show that as points on a map. One of the main things that we were trying to accomplish with Griddle is to say, look, we can take this grid, show it as a grid initially, make sure we're getting our data appropriately, and then immediately say, okay, now flip this over to a map or flip this over to a visualization.
So you mentioned map. Does it work with the GeoJSON format?
Right now, I have not tested it too well with that. Just kind of in some kind of talk, you know, hello world type examples, I'm using Google Maps. The vision would be that it would support like GeoJSON or whatever kind of data people are using, but kind of pushing that outside of the core and saying, you know, this lives in a plugin somewhere else. Wash our hands of that a little bit.
Makes sense. That's a good model, because otherwise you're going to be tasked with maintaining 100 different formats and things like that. So
that's kind of where we got to. And I know I keep saying we, my brother Joel and I kind of initially were working on this, and then there's others in the community as well. But that's kind of where we were getting to, is people were submitting pull requests for like awesome features, but it's kind of like, some people aren't really digging this too much, because now the code base that they're inheriting and shipping to their end users has some features that they don't necessarily need. So we've been working on a refactor for a little over a year now, maybe a little bit more than that, and to kind of support this plugin model.
I played with it a little bit. I went to the Griddle site, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes. You can find it at crosscuttingconcerns.com. I noticed that one of the features you have is infinite scrolling, which is kind of a trendier feature that a lot of the newer websites are doing. And I assume that's working with an Ajax backend making requests to the server to support that. Does Griddle work best with any particular backend? And does it support just JSON or other formats? What's the backend story there?
Right now, some of the infinite scrolling would assume that all the data is loaded locally. So that's, yeah, in some cases, but I mean, that does not scale very well. Sure. So there's backend components too for that infinite scrolling plugin. In the new stuff, which is not yet out, we switch that to virtual scrolling, but a lot of the same concepts. As part of the plugin, people can specify how the backend works, kind of tie into the backend that they're using. So we don't really prescribe any opinions on how a backend should be structured. Just I think that'd be kind of bad on us if we said, to use this, you have to have an API endpoint named this. And so we try to stay out of that and say, okay, there's these methods that you can tie into to interact with the backend that you already have.
Could I use an XML backend or CSV, for instance, if I wanted to?
Yeah, right now it would need to have a transformation step. So it is expecting it to be like an array of JSON. And some of the other things that we're working with is getting TypeScript support and some other things like that as well.
Would you say that Griddle is sort of the top grid component for React right now? And what's sort of the general lay of the land in terms of competition?
I would not necessarily say it's the top grid component for React. That's one of the things I love about like open source is I don't really see it as like a zero-sum game. I think everybody is better through working with everyone else. For me, Griddle has served a very specific use case I had. I know when we started it was in May of 2014, I was having a hard time finding a grid component for React, and now there's like a ton of awesome ones. I think the customization that we're trying to push, I think we're kind of taking a different approach than some other folks, but that's not necessarily to say that it's better. I'm just really happy to see that there's a lot of options in the ecosystem.
Yeah, so that brings me to ask you how you got involved with Griddle. Is this solve a problem with a client, or was it something you did on the side to get to know React better, or what's the story there?
Yeah, so a little of both. This was done evenings and weekends, and still to this day, you know, is a personal open source project. But it was kind of at a previous job, I was working on like a reporting dashboards type application. One of the things that I kept running into is on some of our reports, we would have these, you know, nice visualizations of data. A subsection of our end users would say, okay, I like this data, but I really want to see it as a table. And so that kind of was getting the wheels turning, like, okay, you know, this data we're already pushing to the front end. This is already something that's accessible in the client. This visualization really is a table. And so that was kind of the initial steps there. And I mean, there's definitely some inspiration from some other like jQuery data grids. And there's another one called ListJS that had some influence on kind of what we were doing. That was more for displaying lists of data, but it had a little bit of that same kind of opinion around this is just a list of data. We can display it a couple different ways. So yeah, it was kind of something that mostly worked on nights and weekends, but kind of was inspired from some real world scenarios.
One of the first questions I asked you was about all these JavaScript frameworks, and it seems like they're coming and going so fast these days. You know, Angular has been replaced by Angular 2. Well, depends on who you ask, I guess. And you got React and Vue and Aurelia and all these other frameworks. So what happens to Griddle when React goes out of style?
I that's a great question. I think one of the things with Griddle is I don't want it to, you know, outlive its lifespan. It's specifically a grid for use with React. Now, that's not to say, you know, a lot of the concepts wouldn't evolve into, you know, what comes next. To your point about frameworks coming and going, libraries coming and going. It's a good spot to have a lot of options, but it also kind of leads to a little bit of overwhelming with the amount of choices that you have to make in that space.
If you had to name one thing about React and one thing about Griddle that you don't like or could use improvement, you think you could come up with something?
With React, I would have a little bit of a hard time. Like, I know that sounds like total fan, but we're on the verge of React 16 coming out, and that should kind of change how some of the call stack happens and some other things there. So, I mean, maybe we'll have to wait until after 16 and rehash this discussion. But as far as Griddle, I mean, there's a couple of things from a technical standpoint and then from a personal standpoint to kind of not answer your question and give you a couple answers to a different question, I guess. So one of the things that we're really trying to do with this new version is make it a lot more lightweight, but still have performance concerns that when you're displaying lists of data, and especially when you have lots of data, it's important to get the performance metrics right and have, you know, metrics around it and stuff moving fast. And right now, we're still kind of rounding out that place where we're saying, okay, this is all working like we want it to with the new stuff, but now we need to make it like extremely fast, and we're not quite there yet. To the more like personal side of it, I'm doing this mostly as free time, nights, weekends, and I have three kids too, so free time is something that's hard to find sometimes. I feel bad when, you know, people have legitimate issues with the project, and I just don't have time to address it. And I know a lot of other people who are involved in open source kind of share that concern. You know, somebody's actually taking the time to submit a pull request or submit an issue. It's really hard for me to find the time to get to it and address it in an appropriate manner. That's kind of difficult.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I work for an open source software company, and there's only so much we can do in terms of testing before we release something. You know, people want it for every single operating system, for every single version of their framework, and we just don't have the resources to test all those permutations. It is a tough problem, but on the upside, it's open source. It's out there. So it's not like it's impossible for someone to adapt it or submit a pull request or do a fork, something like that. There is that going for it. So if I wanted to start learning React, I wanted to start learning about Griddle, could you recommend some resources for someone to start doing that?
For React, one of the things I tell my friends who are working towards learning it is kind of to start small. What I usually mean by that is start with something like CodePen or JSBin, and just include the React libraries by themselves in a JSX transformer. JSX is kind of like HTML and JavaScript. It's a little confusing at first, but normally that's where I tell people to start. When React was a little bit newer, that's kind of the only option I had, was to do like a script include. So that's kind of doing that same thing to get your bearings in React. Some of my friends who've been learning it, they'll send me a project they've been working on, and it has, you know, like React and Webpack and Babel and TypeScript and Redux and like all kinds of things. And, you know, just adding all those things at once is a little overwhelming. I would say, yeah, start small and then work on a project that might not be like a real world type use project, but something to kind of say, hey, this is a little bit like a scenario I might encounter developing a website or developing a mobile application, just to kind of get some more bearings around that. And then when you encounter problems with it, for state management, for instance, if you encounter problems where you're trying to share state between multiple components, that's when you can start introducing something like Redux. And I think it helps to see what problem it's solving before just trying to add it, because when it's just being added to a project without that realization, it just feels a little taxing, I guess.
I like that point of view, because it is always overwhelming when I have to figure out, oh, do I need Webpack, Grunt, Gulp? Do I need TypeScript and all this other stuff? And I like the idea of starting small, starting with just one isolated component, seeing if I like that or not.
Yeah, and for Griddle, I would say if you go to the name Griddle was taken for an organization on GitHub, so we have Griddle. So I would say that's one better. But if you go to griddlegriddle.github.io/griddle with the last griddle with a capital G, try to see how many times I can say griddle in this conversation. That's where the documentation is. We've been working on documentation for the new stuff as well. So if you just take that same URL and add /new to it, that's kind of a point in time snapshot of where we were a little while ago. So it's not quite up to date on what's coming out for the next version. Both of those are where I'd say for people to get started. There's also some other resources, like I've seen people post on Stack Overflow and things like that.
Is there anything else you want to promote before we wrap up the show?
For people who are using Redux for state management, there's a lot of different ways for handling logic. One of the ones that I really like is called Redux Logic. That's by somebody named Jeff Barczewski. And it just solves a lot of the problems that I've encountered with where logic should happen in Redux. And I know I'm just kind of barely hinting at the problem that this is solving. And, you know, it has nothing related to anything else that I'm talking about. But this is a project that I really just want to call out because it is very cool.
My guest today has been Ryan Lancio. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
This has been the Cross-Cutting Concerns podcast, produced and recorded by Matt Groves, 2017. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on social media and leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you downloaded this podcast. For show notes, please go to crosscuttingconcerns.com. This episode is recorded under the Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 license. Hosting for this podcast was made possible in part by Microsoft. It was recorded and mixed with the help of Audacity, Skype, and Camtasia Recorder. The theme music is by The Dirty Truckers. You can buy the music on Amazon or iTunes. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on a future episode, please go to crosscuttingconcerns.com to submit your name and idea.
Yeah, we got to work on that URL. It's too many griddles.
Yeah. I think it's just the right amount.